If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Axar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is the kingdom and our mission to restore it. So let's begin with a nice meditation in which I would like to, if you don't already know how, show you how to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, or the Christed way. It's called many things. So make yourself comfortable, preferably sitting upright, your arms and your feet uncrossed, and take a deep breath. And relax your whole body so there's no tension anywhere. Ideally, you put your body in a place where you can forget it and transcend it. And look in a gentle gaze behind your closed eyelids. You may be seeing a purple light. I certainly am as we speak. And that purple light is the light that makes the way straight. It cleanses and purifies and bridges our inadequacies in the personal human sense into the transcendental glory of the Christ Self that we share as one with Christ Jesus. And that rocking back and forth that sometimes you may experience, I always seem to experience when I'm attuned and doing these transmissions, the davening, as it's called in Judaism, is the natural behavior of the body when it starts to align and come into that spiritual flow. You know, we're called candles of the Lord, and if you look at the candle flame, I've got one in front of me, and it's doing the same movement back and forth, back and forth, as a result of the wind. And the divine spirit has been likened to the wind. So when the wind of the Holy Spirit begins to blow through your consciousness levels, the response is that davening, that movement backward and forward very often, at least in my experience. And the clearing of that way, which is the door that's often been called the third eye, which is not a chakra. It's not the brow chakra. The third eye is what opens up when the pineal and the pituitary glands begin to communicate backward and forward to each other. There's an overlapping of the energy fields, the auras, if you will, of the pineal and the pituitary glands, which forms in their unified field the tisratil, or the tenth door, or the agnya center, or the third eye, or simply the door. And when Jesus said, "I am the door that no man can shut," he was referring to that tenth door in the center of your forehead. Now, when George Van Tassel used to connect with the Ashtar Command and receive transmissions from them, he referred to it as the golden density. And it was interesting when I was preparing for the seminar this evening, or actually this morning, I was just sitting in the silence, and I went into that golden density. The whole field behind my closed eyes became an intense golden light. It was so bright that I opened my eyes to see if there was some outer source of light, but no, it was the golden density. And I was reminded of George Van Tassel and how he referred to that as the golden density. Now, that golden density, aside from being the Christ door and the Christ consciousness, is also the color that you see when you're connecting to your spiritual essence or your soul body, your soul consciousness, or your Christed consciousness. And it is the opening of what Jesus referred to as the radiant way, when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except by me." So there's no other way to enter the kingdom of heaven in the highest divine God realms except through this way. This is the door to eternal life. And it's very important that you understand that the door is in you and with you and available to you all the time. You don't need anyone's permission or blessings except for your own blessing upon your own life stream, which is also the same as the blessing of Jesus and God. You only need your own willingness to enter that inner kingdom. And all of the techniques that keep you focused outward in an outward search are distractions. They are the things of the infancy of childhood, spiritual childhood. And we put them aside at some point because we need to come to God and worship God in spirit and in truth. And that spirit and that truth dwells within you. And it is only reflected through objects and things, and books and persons, and so forth in the outer world. So now as we go within, we have some idea what we're aiming towards. The next time you take a deep breath, I want you to focus very gently, without any effort, and just park your awareness without straining in the center of your forehead. And with your closed eyes, open your spiritual eyes and look out the center of your forehead. Deep breath. And at first, if you do not see the purple light, it's possible that you just see a black velvet screen. And it takes, perhaps for some, depends on how experienced you are in going within. With some people, it's like entering into a new room of consciousness in which You know, when you enter a dark theater, and after, at first you can't see anything, and then gradually you can make out objects as you stay in the dark room. It's like that. You learn to see in a different way. And so be very patient, because it is God's will to restore the kingdom and all he has to you. You are the heirs, the co-equal heirs with the first elder son that came to restore the kingdom, which would be your elder brother, Jesus. He is the first in a family, a sonship of divine and royal heirs. So, if God be for you in this, who could be against you? Nothing can prevail against the will of God for your complete restoration. So in this process, allow yourself some time each day to sit quietly and focus behind your eyelids very gently. You can chant a mantra if you like. You can chant the name of Jesus. You could say, "Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done." And whatever you say into that private space that you're creating with God, the sacred space, allow it to be and allow it to open up to you. And I promise you, it will. And as you enter that kingdom, several things could be experienced. I think it's maybe unique to where you particularly are on your spiritual path. But some of the things that you might experience is suddenly seeing a starlit sky. It's as if you're looking up a silo or out a viewing telescope into the starry sky. You also might experience the flashing of light, very similar to, it's kind of like lightning, but as the power of your third eye develops, sometimes you will see concentric rings of electric white light that flash out from your third eye, and you see this inwardly against the backdrop of your forehead. You know, inside your head. These have been referred to as the entering of the astral plane, which is astral means starry, and the sun, moon, and lightning realms, which are, again, a dimensional realm where some of you see unicorns and other mythical creatures, which are not so mythical, they actually exist. That's the dimension that they live in, which is a room of consciousness. And there's many beautiful things to be seen there. So you begin to progress into the kingdom of heaven, which is multidimensional, and it keeps opening into new levels. So it's not static. It's very, very alive. At this stage of your journey, suggesting imagery is helpful. Perhaps guided imagery that you might be listening to on a cassette or a DVD or a live where someone's leading you in a meditation. That is helpful in the beginning to get your mind focused and get you interested. And then you progress into the level where you contemplate the Word of God, the teachings, begin to come to you that the Holy Spirit reveals to your innermost consciousness. This is where you meditate and contemplate the Word of God. This can be something that you've brought as a seed thought. It can be a question that you're placing into your inner consciousness for resolution. Or it could be the revelation that comes when you are attuned to the living word, which is the sound current of God within you. And that has a way of teaching you at the area that you most need to be dealt with. It's a one-on-one. It's a inner scripture that is revealed just for you. And this goes deeper than studying and contemplating the outer written word, which is very good as a preparation, but you need to transcend the form at some point and go into the living word, which again is within you. The scriptures of light are encoded within you. There's a whole inner tapestry and treasury of God's holy word that's inside you. And that is what you learn to read. That is what you learn to contemplate. That is what you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you in your quiet moments. When you call upon the Lord with all your heart, and He responds by showing you the secret things that you don't know about, He reveals His heart, mind, and creation to you in the most amazing ways. So beyond the level of contemplation and meditation and rumination, you pass into an area where sometimes you feel like you're in a spinning vortex of energy. You're almost in what's called the theta state of consciousness at this point, just prior to dropping off to sleep. You have to kind of press in very, very diligently at this point to avoid going to sleep because there's not much visual imagery at this level. But there's a sensation. And the sensation is often one of twirling or whirling or even dizziness. Sometimes people get a little frightened here. Sometimes you have a sensation like you're falling back inside yourself. So just be with the Lord in that place and allow the love that you have for the Lord to carry you on eagle's wings across this chasm, as it were. This is the etheric plane or the dark realm that guards the kingdom of light. So if you press through this area and don't fall asleep, you can consciously enter the soul realm, which is a brilliant golden light. But it's guarded by angels, which turn away the unprepared. And one of the ways that the angels guard this and prevent the unprepared or the egocentric from entering is that there's a mirror that reflects your own image back to yourself. If you saw the movie Siddhartha, that particular realm is very well depicted when Siddhartha is sitting under the Bodhi tree and looking into this pool, and up out of the pool comes a reflection of his own face. And then the face, because he doesn't react to it, the face becomes the face of Mara, the tempter. Mara would be another name for the devil in Buddhism. And there's a similar phenomena that happens here, although what really most often happens is that when the yogi or the person who's contemplating has reached this level, it shows them their own face, and then they begin to think they're God. And then they often turn, thinking that they have achieved the ultimate samadhi, the ultimate union, and they begin to be the guru or the teacher, saying, I'm it, I have found the secret of all life, and I'm it, and I'm God, and you're God, and everyone's God. Well, not really. We can embody this spirit of God, But God is God, and God remains God. So while God indwells all things with a portion of divinity, we still live and move and have our being within a greater God. And when we have successfully traveled through all the many, many worlds and universes within us, we find that we've just been traveling in our own creations. And beyond the self-realization, there is a whole other God creation and God realms that are totally beyond us. So that's why the process of inner inquiry never has a terminal point. It's always, you're moving from glory to glory, revelation to revelation. Whenever the word glory is used, it refers to the supernatural revelation of God. It's glory. And we don't actually understand it here, because glory can be perceived only in spirit and in truth. There is nothing in the outer world whatsoever that reflects God's glory, except for perhaps Jesus the Christ, which was the closest that the glory realms ever touched to this earth. Having said that, that is our divine heritage also, to be the visible images of God, just as Jesus was of his Father. We are also to be the living temples, the living stone in which he is enthroned. So, do not believe when you see your own image reflected back to you that that's it, that you've achieved ultimate God realization. But stay still and quiet and do not react to anything you see, because any reaction will throw you back into a lower level of consciousness. But with your heart's throbbing love and passion and deepest reverence and holy humility, just enter the court of the Lord with thanksgiving. So, with a heart full of gratitude, soak in that place and dwell with the Lord. Let him dwell in you and with you and hang out with you. And then you enter into his direct presence with praise. And there comes a point in which there is no way you can utter praise verbally. Your whole heart, your whole body becomes a paean of praise. You become a living psalm of praise, where the adoration of your heart's flame has ignited the cells of your entire body. That spark of divinity in every cell of your body becomes emblazoned with divine golden light. And the glory, the holy Shekinah fire of Almighty God, ignites into a holy effulgence. And you become literally like a burning bush in the presence of God. There's nothing that can be said about that state. But these are some of the levels that are available. And there is a gradual entering into that place. So create a time to dwell. It is said that the Lord is the only bridegroom whose wife doesn't want to spend time with him. So we need to love and be in love with the beloved and want to spend quiet time, one-on-one time with him and in his presence. And allow that as a possibility, if you will, because that is your next step for many of you. And that is what will feed and sustain you. So spend time quietly gazing with a very passive and gentle gaze through the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your mind, and learn to see and to travel in your spiritual inner awareness into the kingdom of heaven within you, the kingdom of God. You know, as I sat earlier today, I asked the Lord what he wanted me to say to you tonight. And he said, tell them about my kingdom and the part they are to play in restoring it. And I was a little daunted about that because that is a very, very vast topic. And I didn't really even know where to begin. To which Jesus immediately responded, I will tell you what to say. So that's what I'm going to be doing this evening as he inspires and directs the flow of this seminar. And that's another thing that's important to bear in mind, that you never need to know what to do or what to say, because that's the function of the Spirit of Truth that has come to indwell you. That is the gift of the Father to you, is the divine spirit, his spirit, that comes to live inside every born-again believer and teaches you everything that Jesus would have you know, everything that the Almighty Father of all life, the Creator of all life, would like to reveal to you. The restoration, this process of restoration of God's kingdom, we say it every time we say the Lord's Prayer. And when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, one of the lines of the Lord's Prayer that probably is familiar to most of you listening, if not every one of you listening, is this phrase, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Now that's interesting because the kingdom is to come on earth as it is in heaven. I think sometimes we get it backwards. We get the cart before the horse when many New Age teachings point us to ascension and away from the earth or evacuation and beaming up off the earth, or just turning the earth over to the devil and his mayhem, while we let the Antichrist rule and we split with the Lord. But that's not actually what is taught in the Bible at all. At all, ever. That is man's interpretation of what they think the Bible says. But it's again an outer teaching that points you to outer solutions that are not grounded in the Spirit and the truth. That's why you must go within for your teaching. You go without for your validation and your experience and your ministry, but for your teaching, you go within. You have an intercessor in the form of the Divine Helper, which is the Holy Spirit. So you don't need an outer mediator. You have an inner mediator, an inner bridge, an inner intercessor that is always interceding before God on your behalf, and that's the Holy Spirit. And Jesus also is continually interceding, which means standing in the gap where you fall short, where your flesh is too weak. The Holy Spirit and Jesus the Christ stand in for you and bridge you through to perfection, victory, and completion. So you're never left under your own steam. So this process of restoration begins with Jesus emerging out of the baptism waters of the River Jordan after he's been baptized by his cousin John the Baptist. And as he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit fills him. And this is the first time that the Holy Spirit has filled and fully indwelt a human being since the fall occurred in the Garden of Eden. So the Holy Spirit fully indwelt and occupied the human form of Jesus. And the restoration of the kingdom of God upon earth was launched officially. The earth was, was originally designed to be an outpost extension colonization of the divine throne realms. It wasn't meant to have evil and sickness and pain and death. It was meant to be part of the imperishable star realms. And man was designed as a family of royalty. We were designed to administer the affairs of this earth and to wield throne realm power and authority on behalf of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which would be King Jesus. So the greater central sun government was meant to be extended and implemented upon this physical planet Earth and through the agency of spiritually connected human beings. So all the time it's been about a king and his kingdom and the usurping and overthrowing of that kingdom and its subjugation to the kingdom of darkness and the fallen ones that I don't like to name by name because then you call them forward. But you know who the evil one and his regents are, his emissaries, the fallen angels or the fallen whatevers. And that was why Jesus had to come directly to restore, to defeat the strategies of the enemy and to restore his the kingdom, which occurred 2,000 years ago. But while the kingdom of darkness was overthrown at that time and basically defeated, because not all human beings are aware of that, they're for the most part still under the control and domination of the kingdom of darkness, which is why there's so much evil and crime and sickness and pain and misery and addiction and abuse on the planet. It doesn't come from God. It comes from the fall, which occurred way, way back 2,000 years ago. Actually, further back than 2,000 years ago. Long time ago, in Atlantis. So, it's never, ever at any time been about man seeking God or seeking God and his kingdom through religion. It's never been about man seeking at all, period. In fact, all religions were created by fallen man's attempt to re-enter the kingdom through his own toil and labors. The kingdom of God, however, is not entered by man's efforts or works, but through God's grace. It is God's good pleasure to give his children the kingdom and all he possesses. So, it's not about us. It's not about effort. It's not about toil. That's why Jesus said, "Come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You know, these things begin to make sense when you look at them in the correct context. And perhaps that's why you almost never hear sermons or any religions teach you about reclaiming your kingdom inheritance and your covenant rights and your state of divine sonship and your power and authority. When was it that you last went to a church or a whatever and they told you, you are a son and daughter, a royal king and queen, an ambassador of God's kingdom, through which God is restoring his dominion upon earth? Well, it seems more likely that you'll encounter religions that seem to keep you small and are ever reminding you of your sinful nature and your human frailty. You hear people say all the time, oh, you know, Jesus is divine, but I'm just a human. You know, it's just human nature. You don't have a human nature. That's the false self. You have a divine nature made in the image and likeness of God. And your destiny is a co-equal heir that rules and reigns in heavenly places with Christ. So it's interesting that the way of Jesus is the only teaching that seats you in heavenly places while you're living on earth. Most religions do not guarantee that you're going to have eternal life when you step out of the body. I can't think of a single one. They all either don't know where you're going to go, or they suggest that you will reincarnate until you perfect yourself, or you'll end in some state like bardos, they're called, which are states of consciousness, mini worlds, if you will, that you've created out of your mind, states of mind. And some religions don't offer any hope at all. You have to wait until you die to see whether you go to heaven or hell. But Christianity, the teachings of Jesus alone, promise you eternal life. As many as would receive and believe and rely on Jesus, they have eternal life. And at the minute they leave their body, they're present with the Lord. And the minute you are born again and enter into legal sonship, you are seated immediately in heavenly places where you co-rule and co-reign with Christ, even while your physical body is completing its dance in time and space. Isn't that interesting? And it's the only teaching that empowers you to function as a Christed soul while you're living in the human body. It encourages you to step into that mantle of divine sonship. Interesting, huh? So it's the nature of man's human messing around with the teachings to keep pointing you to outer religion and outer written scriptures and outer busyness, and you never get introduced to the Son of the Living God that lives in you as you. And that, I think, is part of the plan of the enemy of light, the enemy of our souls. I think that's the whole agenda of the power of darkness, is to keep you distracted, to rob you of that ability to truly walk out a higher divine empowered, conscious, divine life. So each one of us was intended to communicate directly with our divine creator and to heed and obey his directives only. And the human being is meant to be a citizen of God's kingdom, not members of a religion. In fact, the only proof that you even know the true God at all is that you love people. That's the only proof that anyone knows God, is that they have a heart of love towards their fellow man. So religion has gotten people all bound up in laws and rules and regulations and shoulds and should nots. And in fact, it's interesting, the Bible actually refers to the law as the ministry of death. That's really interesting. The ministry of death. So the laws of religion do not liberate anyone to eternal life. Eternal life is the gift of Jesus the Christ, who alone came and restored you to your kingdom inheritance, your true divine sonship, and your rightful status in the eyes of the Most High. So we have the righteousness, not of ourselves, of our own efforts and works, lest we be proud and vainglorious, but we wear the righteousness that Christ purchased for us and clothed us with, which is his own righteousness. His own nature becomes our nature that we wear as the garment of light. So human beings were born to rule the earth, to have complete governing say-so on this earth, to have sole dominion upon this planet, and everything upon it except one another. We are not to lord it over each other, but we are to speak God's will and God's mandates into the planet, and all conditions are to be subject to our dominion. That was the way it was originally planned to be before the fall. And we abrogated our own authority and gave in to the lying reptilians. Now, because of the loss of memory, which is what happens whenever the electromagnetic field falls around the earth and there's a polar shift, there is a wiping out of the memory, which is why we don't really have anything but a legend and a dim cellular memory of something bad that happened a long time ago that somehow made a big breach between our ability to reach into and know our divinity and communicate directly with God. But we don't actually know what it is. We have a huge reality gap. And as a result, we all keep seeking our true identity and place of origin and purpose. Now, science can only point us back to an origin as an ape or a Neanderthal man or a club-wielding primitive of some sort or to a Big Bang or a cosmic soup. Bottom line is they don't really know man's true origin nor man's true purpose. And it's interesting because you can never know the things of God until God completely possesses your heart. You have to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. And then the secret things are revealed to you. That's why a godless science, an atheistic science, can never know the things of God. Now, there's a divine science, but we aren't even close to that. We aren't even close to tapping that. And the divine science is the science of light and sound, which incorporates all truth and all wisdom, whether it's scientific or spiritual or whatever. It's all in the science of divine light and sound, or the living word and the living light. So the gap in memory and the continuity of consciousness that we seek must be divinely restored. That is the primary purpose of God sending the gift of his Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to teach us directly, and to guide us into all truth. That's really the function and purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the intercessor that stands in that gap and bridges where we forgot. We lost continuity. And it bridges us back to full remembrance of who and what we are in Christ and in God's kingdom. So the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. The Holy Spirit is inside your mind as your conscience, as that still voice of guidance, as the ability to discern truth from falsehood, as your direct knowing, as revelation, and as wisdom, because the Holy Spirit is truth itself. That's why it's wrong to seek your teaching through spirits, discarnate spirits, or through channels, mediums that open their vehicles to be possessed by discarnate spirits, or to turn to other people to have them replace your own ability to go within directly to the Lord and to seek His counsel. We all have a teacher. We all need mentors and teachers and those that will assist us in the process of maturing and discipleship, walking with the Lord and being discipled. We all need that. We all have that. But not to rely on it to where you never, ever grow to walk in the light of your own direct fellowship with the Lord. Now, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter because there's a tremendous comfort and security when you're with God, when you're walking with God. There's a clothing that comes about you that is a comfort and a peace that you dwell in. The scriptures say that you shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be your peace. That's a beautiful mantra for you to say to yourself. I am taught of the Lord, and great is my peace. That's a wonderful prayer for your children if you're a parent. My children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. So the truth of God spoken into your mind and heart always comes with the witness of peace. The scriptures say that we need to let peace, the peace of Christ, be the umpire of our thoughts. So when you have thoughts that are kind of in two separate teams in your mind, let peace be the umpire. Decide with Christ for peace. So choose peace, the thoughts of peace, and loving accord, for these are the thoughts of God, that God thinks within you, within your mind, through His Holy Spirit. Now, the very first teaching about the kingdom that Jesus gave at the very start of His mission was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent is from the Latin word that means to rethink. You know, think again what you're doing with your life and begin to reconsider your direction in life and make a conscious decision to turn your life Godward if you haven't already done so. And you don't need to know what that looks like. You just need to make that decision. It's like, okay, my life is not being lived for God right now. I'm pursuing the things of the world that are going to die with a body. And I can't take any of that with me. There's got to be something more. And then to make a conscious decision to turn your life Godward and place it into God's jurisdiction, authority, and under His control. And then Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again. Our flesh body is born physically of water and blood. And we must be spiritually born also by water and blood. This is very deep understanding of this. Let me share a little bit of what Jesus revealed to me. At the time Jesus was crucified, when the Roman soldier came to make sure he was dead, he took his spear and he pierced the side up into the pericardium of the heart of Jesus Christ. And out of the side of Jesus gushed water and blood. And that was the birth of the bride of Christ, the redeemed and restored body of Christ, or redeemed humanity, also called his church. So his church is not a building. The church of Christ is that group of people who have been born through the blood and the water of the Savior. Now, if you have read the story in Genesis of the creation that took place on this planet, which is, there are two creations, there's pre-Adamic creation and post-Adamic creation, which is what we are living out right now on this planet. In the second creation, God took a rib out of the side of Adam, opened up the side of Adam after he put him to sleep, and took a rib out. And from the rib, he created Adam's bride, Eve. So likewise, in the side of the second Adam, Jesus, came his bride, which is redeemed humanity. So when we become a born again, as a collective bride of Christ, we are cleansed with the blood of Jesus and the living water of God's Holy Spirit. So that's the cleansing blood that redeemed and purchased us back from the kingdom of darkness, washed away the sin of the fall, and the living water that comes up from the renewed spirit, the reborn spirit, the spiritually regenerated spirit, wells up to the living water, the power of God's Holy Spirit. So we're born through the blood and the water, spiritually speaking, when we're born again. There's also another meaning. There is the washing of the Word, which implies the cleansing power of the divine living Word within you, the sound current of God, and meditating and soaking in the divine presence of this living Word. Also, there is a meaning of the washing of the Word of God when it is referring to your study of the written scriptures. Reading the written scriptures and the scriptural Word of God will cleanse and renew your mind. But again, don't just stop with reading the book. Go into the inner Word within you. As you move with the Word of God within you, the sound current, you come into attunement with the divine light and sound of God. That is what cleanses and renews your mind more than anything else. But, you know, in terms of the written Word of God, the Bible, no one can read and understand the written Word of the Bible without the anointing of its author, which is the Holy Spirit. So again, even to understand the Bible, you need to be born again. You need to have your mind touched by the water and the blood to renew it and birth it into the ability to perceive spiritually. There's another meaning to the waters. When you are baptized and immersed completely in water, full submersion, that symbolizes your dying with Jesus. The old person dies. And then when you come up out of the water, you are resurrected to a new life in Christ. So those are some of the meanings of the water and the blood symbology that you will encounter in scriptures. There is, again, many layers of meaning and understanding. So to continue, after we're born again, we learn how to stay connected. Jesus said that without staying connected to him, we can't do anything. We have no power. We have no anointing. We have no juice. So we need to cling to him just like the creepers cling to the vine. And when you stay connected to Jesus and his word lives in you and you live in his word and obey his word, then you produce lots and lots of fruit, which, again, is the manifestation of the gifts of God. So Jesus baptizes the born-again person with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of that is that you speak a heavenly language, that is, the language of the Holy Spirit from the celestial realms. And it's a special tongue, a prayer language that is released as the Holy Spirit takes control of your tongue. That's the first organ that he deals with in the reborn person, because we are the only species, the only creation that was designed to speak the oracles of God. No one else was given the task to know God and to speak on behalf of God. That's why the first sign that you have been spiritually regenerated is that the Holy Spirit claims your tongue and teaches you how to speak for God, in God's authority and name, and on behalf of God. That's why after you're born again, your speech really cleans up. You can't, your nature just changes. And the first thing that you notice is that your speech cleans up. You know, you stop the foul language and you stop the blaspheming and you stop the negative things that you say. So you learn how to live as a royal heir of God's kingdom. And you mature and learn how to operate in your kingdom authority. And you learn how to speak God's will and God's word upon earth. So it goes without saying, perhaps, you better know God's will and God's word. And that is written in the manifesto for earth life in the Bible. That is the how-to manual of how to live a God-conscious life upon the earth. You can't wiggle around that. That's the operational manual for planet Earth. So then you resume the original divinely intended function upon Earth as you speak and release God's power and God's kingdom into the Earth and into the fallen systems of this world. The whole world functions under the kingdom of darkness. That's, you know, everything that you see, part of the rethinking process, the repenting process, is that you have to reverse everything that you ever believed about everything, because everything in the outer world basically is not in service to the light. It's in service to the flesh and to ignorance and to darkness, but not light. So we are the light of the world. We are the salt. We are the preserver, that which preserves the precious things of God and God's kingdom. That is our function, to be the light and the salt of this earth. So I think we're very fortunate because we're living in the time of the greatest outpouring of divine power in recorded history, much greater than at the time when Jesus actually physically walked this earth, greater than any other time. This is the time when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is being poured forth on all flesh. It's just raining. And the very fastest growing movement of faith in this entire world is the charismatic movement. Charis means gift. The charismatic movement is the spirit-filled group of people from all denominations and none who have been filled by the Holy Spirit and are doing operating in the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, it's people are turning, they are coming into this charismatic movement in such tremendous numbers that the estimate is by 2030, everyone on the planet will be a charismatic, born-again person at the rate that people are now turning to the light and to the Holy Spirit. So it's something that transcends man's machinations, man's religions, man's plots and plans. It's something that that ordinary people all over the world are suddenly being filled by God and being used in the most superordinary ways. And the supernatural gifts and signs and miracles and wonders always accompany the true gospel message of Jesus. That's how you can tell it's the truth, is because it's attested to by the witnessing signs, wonders, transformations. You know, any shaman can do miracles, but it's the transformed life, the transformed heart. It's the love. It's the supernatural stirring of divine compassion and love and mercy that characterizes a genuine touch of God. And the scriptures say that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those whose hearts are right towards Him. Like we spoke of last seminar, you know, the gift is waiting for you to make room for it. So when you have made your heart right towards God, it means you've made some room for God. You have desired God. You have looked for the godly way. And Spirit will always find you when you have that intention in your heart. So part of the kingdom restoration is you addressing the things that are not of the kingdom. For example, sickness is not of the kingdom. You are to minister healing. Death is not of the kingdom. You have the power to call forth life from death. Lack and poverty is not of the kingdom. You have the ability and authority to speak divine provision and favor into those situations. Pain and suffering is not of the kingdom. You have come to bring the joy of the Lord. Loss of any kind is not of the kingdom. So you are to speak the restoration into those situations of loss. Evil and wickedness is not of the kingdom. So we are to cast out the evil one wherever he tries to establish a stronghold. Bondage and addiction is not of the kingdom. We have the authority and power to minister deliverance to people caught up in bondage and addiction. So, in every one of these conditions that are part of the fallen earth condition, we, as the heirs and ambassadors of God's kingdom and the Christ, have the authority to speak and to reclaim those areas for the kingdom. Make sense? These dreadful storms that have been ravaging the country, you know, tornadoes and cyclones and just horrific destruction. One of our commanders mentioned that she was ministering in the church, and the tornado was coming, the one that was hit Rice, Texas, was directly coming towards the church and towards the homes of some of her children. And she was guided by the Holy Spirit to stand up and to direct the congregation just speak to that storm. And she told him, you don't pray about the storm. You speak to it. In the name of Jesus, I command you to be at peace, be calm, be still. Jesus said to the storm out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, peace, be still. And, tornado did not hit the church and did not hit the homes of her children. So know that the powers of darkness always seek to destroy, to steal, to kill. And darkness relishes anything that wreaks havoc and torments and enslaves. That's the whole agenda of darkness, is to keep you enslaved to ignorance, to keep you from knowing your divine inheritance, to keep you from walking in power and victory. It wants to keep you enslaved and addicted and in some dead religion that keeps you thinking you're a miserable sinner. That's the whole plan of darkness, is to keep you ignorant and small so you're not a threat. But with Christ we have come that all may have fullness of joy and peace of mind and abundant life. That's why we're here. And with Christ we have come to liberate people from darkness and from fear and demonic oppression. And with Christ we have come to proclaim the new day of the Lord and the kingdom of God restored upon an ascended earth. Now the whole earth is raising in vibration into a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be completely restored to its pre-fallen Edenic state. So we have come as the bards, as the troubadours of a new song. Scriptures say that we shall sing a new song. We shall sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, of the law now fulfilled by grace. And when it says we sing of the new heavens and the new earth, I believe that the very cells of our body begin to resonate with the glory and praising of God. Everything within us and around us praises God. Again, it goes beyond just the words of the mouth. It becomes a state of consciousness in which we are clothed. We are clothed with the garment of praise. So one of the most powerful weapons that you can ever wield against the enemy of our soul, which would be the dark one, is to praise God and thank God no matter what's going on in your life. Take it as God's blessing. That's really, really difficult to do without a strong faith in God and a strong anointing of the Holy Spirit. But when you can, in the very midst of your travail, whatever it is that you're suffering, if you can say, Lord, I just lift up your name. I praise you. I love you. I trust you. I worship you. And may you be glorified. May whatever I'm going through that the enemy has planned for my destruction, may it be turned to glorify you and to be a witness of your grace. You know, have that attitude towards whatever is happening in your life. And that way you will enter the court of the Lord with thanksgiving. That means you have prepared the place, but you enter into the direct presence of God with praise. In fact, in the ancient times, before they ever went into battle, the ancient Israelites would call for the the singers and the worshipers, the worship leaders, and they would worship God and praise God. And that would really strike terror into the hearts of the enemy, because the enemy always wants to cause you to be afraid. So when you can conquer fear and replace fear with praise of God, then, you know, you have won right at the very onset. I want to speak a little bit about the mantles that are being bestowed to whoever will receive them. And to do that, I have to tell a story about an interesting man that I heard speak a few days ago. His name is Kevin Broccoli. And Kevin Broccoli is a healer, Christian healer, who's had the most amazing supernatural miracles occur in his ministry. And he works with the angels, of course, that he can see, and the angels accompany him as he ministers. But he tells of the most amazing out-of-body experience. And again, he says with Paul, like Paul, and he described one of his out-of-body experiences, he couldn't tell if he was actually in his physical body, transposed into the place where he found himself, or if he had left his physical body and traveled there spiritually. Because it was so real, he wasn't sure if he was in his tangible body that had translocated or not. But he was taken by an angel into a huge heavenly warehouse. And this was an amazing warehouse. He said it was very sterile and very clean, and there were shelves after shelves after shelves of body parts. Yeah, body parts. Hands and hearts and livers and kidneys and fingers and toes and limbs and arms and brains, every part of the body you could think of. And the angel said that those were the body parts that were used in creative miracles. You know, when you pray for a blind person, which he did, there was a man who was blind. And over a series of days, he watched the socket of the man that had just an empty socket. There was a little pea-shaped eyeball that started to form. The next day it was bigger, next day bigger, next day bigger. Until by the end of the week, the man had a fully grown eye in his socket. And then he watched as that eye opened and began to see. It was slowed down so he could watch the whole creative miracle process of the growing of this man's eyeball and the restoration of his sight. Now, that's an example of operating in kingdom authority. Kevin obviously knows and operates in his kingdom authority. But that's not just for Kevin. That's for everyone. We all have that possibility of operating at that level. And I don't care what the disease is or what the condition is. It is not of God. It's not God's will. And it's not part of the kingdom. I believe, along with Catherine Kuhlman and Benny Hinn, that we are actually going to see a time when sickness and disease will be completely healed. Every member of the body of Christ will be healed of every single sickness and condition. I think we're in the time when we're starting to see an exponential overtaking of the miracles of healing. You know, it's just really, particularly in the third world countries where they don't have access to medical care, there's tremendous miracles taking place. Now, the other thing that Kevin Broccoli was shown was a large room with like treasure chests, like little chests that had labels of mantles. Like, for example, one said Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth was a great, great, great charismatic healer, raised people from the dead, healed people. Tremendous man of God, Englishman who was a plumber, and God anointed him mightily and used him in a tremendous revival ministry. And then you had another one of the mantles was John G. Lake, who again was a tremendous healer. It's estimated that he raised, I forget how many thousands of people from the dead, and healed literally hundreds of thousands of people. And they have healing rooms all over the United States now that are patterned after his original healing room, which was in Spokane, Washington. So those are just two examples of two of what would be called the generals of the faith, that their mantles are there for the taking. How do you take a mantle? Well, there's several ways. Sometimes when you are with a great general of the faith, a great man or woman of God, when they pass away, sometimes their mantle comes to you as they pass away, as they leave this earth. Sometimes it comes as a special anointing. Sometimes the anointing is for a time and a season. Like, for example, when I was in Israel with Benny Hinn Ministries, many of the prophets there said I was operating under the mantle of Elijah. And it was interesting because I was the minister that was asked by Benny Hinn to read the passage about Elijah when he was in Mount Carmel. We happened to be in Mount Carmel at the time, overlooking the area where Elijah had dealt with the false priests of Baal. And he had called down fire from the sky, which had supernaturally consumed his offering, which was the proof before the priesthood of Baal that his God was the correct God and not the God that the priests of Baal were worshiping. So it's a long story, but it was interesting because I didn't really know what the mantle of Elijah was, but everybody kept saying it. They kept pointing and saying, you have the mantle of Elijah. There were just some really powerful men and women of God there, so I thought, okay. But it had rained that day, and as I was reading that particular story in the Bible before the group of pastors that were there, there were about 568 ministers and pastors that had gone with Benny Hinn on that particular trip in 2002, and I was just one of them. They said that the sky opened right over where I was standing, and this shaft of golden light came through the clouds down onto the book, the Bible, as I was reading it. And then after I finished, it was just like a spotlight, you know, it's like the sky clouded over again. So that was my experience of being immantled, clothed, and immantled for a time and a season. And it's interesting because part of my ministry is to speak into the deception of false teachings and the New Age and different teachings that have been filled with deception, that have distracted people from walking in the power and anointing as a direct ambassador and heir to God's kingdom, which is exactly what Elijah was doing, the prophet Elijah was doing at that time with the wicked queen Jezebel and her priests of Baal. And it's just interesting. So if you understand something about the different characters in the Bible and that each one of those characters has a mantle, and according to what your nature is or your proclivity, say for example you might be a powerful orator, a powerfully persuasive preacher, you might be operating under the mantle of St. Paul. You know, just different levels of anointing that would be symbolic or symbolized by those particular persons in the Bible. So the mantles are being restored because many of the generals of the faith, for example, Catherine Coleman and recently now Oral Roberts has passed over, and their mantles are available. Their mantles can, you can walk in those mantles. I met a woman and prophesied that she walked in the mantle, Catherine Coleman, one of the women that I met in ministry. And, of course, Benny Hinn has very much taken a similar ministry to Catherine Coleman, whom he admired very, very much. And Oral Roberts was very much a mentor to him. So you see a lot of that healing ministry working through Benny Hinn at this time. But it's not exclusive to anyone. That's another thing I have to keep reminding you, is that there's no favorites in God's kingdom. We're all co-equal heirs with Christ. And as many as would receive, they can receive. So get under that anointing and ask for whatever mantle would be appropriate for you to walk in. But become become familiar with them so you can spiritually discern what they are, how they're operating. So know that the restoration of God's kingdom involves the healing of disease and poverty. You know, people are in such lack consciousness today as if God went out of business. And it's too bad that we put such credence into man-created economies that we totally forget the giver of all wealth and abundance, which is God Almighty. You know, God didn't create banking systems and money and Federal Reserves and taxation and all the things that we have now allowed to enslave us and intimidate us. He didn't create the stock markets. You know, that's all man's stuff. And we don't have any of that upon the other planets either. So perhaps part of the kingdom restoration is learning to rely once again upon God and His provision and live in a way that enables us to experience that divine provision. You know, it's God's will because He said in the Bible, "Beloved above all things, I wish that you prosper, even as your soul prospers, and that you be in good health." So we know prosperity and good health, spiritually and physically, is God's will. That's how you know how to pray specifically into a situation when you know it's not part of the kingdom. So disease is illegal in the body of a redeemed, blood-purchased child of God. All disease must leave at the name of Jesus. It must obey the word and authority of a kingdom heir and ambassador. You know, it's interesting, in the Course in Miracles, Jesus said that all healing is maximal. So when you pray for a person to be healed, they are healed. Now, whether or not that healing takes an appearance of wholeness in time and space, that is, again, the providence of God and His sovereign will. And sometimes healing appears differently than what we expect. Sometimes healing is going home to be with the Lord when you've completed your mission. So God's point of view about what is healed may be very different from what we consider healed. But again, you need to learn to look beyond the appearance and to walk in faith and the evidence of faith and your spiritual knowing, and not walk after just what you see with your physical eyes. So we are meant to call forth the kingdom of God into this world and into every condition contrary to the will and word of God. That's our mission here. And we have been given the power and the authority to command and dispatch the angels. The angels, by the way, will only obey and fulfill the word and will of God. They don't operate on their own. So it is our duty to speak the will and word of God, which they stand at attention and listen for, and when they hear you speak it out of your mouth, then they hasten to obey and fulfill the word of God. So it's so important to know the word of God, and that, again, you will find in the written scriptures. So we have the power to bind and the power to release. And the scriptures tell us that whatever we bind or release upon earth is also bound and or released in heaven. So what would we bind? Well, for example, you can bind the forces of terrorism. You can actually bind those people and persons and plans that are trying to kill and take innocent lives. You can bind that evil power, and you can release supernatural protection into those situations. It's just that easy. You can take authority over that evil condition. You can take authority over that storm. You can bind the force of destruction, and you can release the power of God's supernatural provision, protection, whatever. So we must learn how to speak God's will and word into every fallen condition in this world, and to bind every plan and strategy of darkness, and to release God's power, God's deliverance, God's victory, God's protection, God's provision into this earth and into people's lives. And that's our job. We are to speak God's kingdom mandates. That's it. We are the God speakers, the oracles of God. And that's what our mission is. So we restore the kingdom upon earth as our kingdom authority and power is released through our spoken words. That's why the Holy Spirit's first evidence after you're baptized with the fire of the Holy Spirit is to deal with your speech, to deal with your tongue. And it's said in the wisdom teachings that we don't really have power, spiritual power in our words until our words have lost the ability to wound. And that ability to wound, in my experiences, is greatly, greatly mitigated by the power of the Holy Spirit. You find you just can't talk ugly and hatefully anymore. You just can't. It just won't even come out of your mouth. So we speak wholeness in Jesus' name, and the sick are restored to the kingdom of health. We speak life into death, and the dead resurrect to new life in Christ, or are in many cases resurrected from death. This is happening, as I've told in other shows, in lots and lots of instances, particularly with children in the third world countries. And in fact, so many of the young children are actually resurrecting people from the dead that when Heidi Baker asked her orphans how many of them had actually spoken a prayer that caused a dead person to rise, almost all of her orphans raised their hand. So it's very interesting, these young children that hear the word, they believe it, they have no doubt in their minds, they immediately start operating in their kingdom authority because no one has ever told them that they couldn't. And they just hear it, they believe it, and they begin to operate in it. So if we could just be like that here in this jaded West, wouldn't that be wonderful? So we speak increase and provision into conditions of lack. And we see situations turn around. Well, you know, things just turn around when you know how to speak into them correctly. And provision and the extension of the needful substance takes place. So you learn to speak to your mountain. You learn to speak to your giant. You learn to speak to the devil. And whatever the world attempts to place before you as an obstacle or limitation or hindrance, and it must give way to the power and authority of Christ. So you don't do it under your own steam. You don't have to be concerned. Your job is to speak the word. You're not responsible for what happens after you've spoken the word, okay? You're not the one doing the healing. You're not the one providing the increase. You're not the one that is doing anything. You're simply speaking God's will and word into the situation. Now, ultimately, every knee in the heavens and upon earth must bow and proclaim Jesus is Lord. And remember that the term Lord, Adonai, means the owner. So the Lord is the legal landlord of creation. He's the legal owner and landlord of this planet Earth. And so that's why every knee and every tongue must bow and proclaim Jesus is Lord. And that's the ultimate end that is going to happen according to the book of Revelation. So we have a big mission to fulfill. And thank heavens we are not designed to do it alone. We have the Helper, the Holy Spirit. We have God the Father. We have Jesus, the extension and living presence of God the Father, and the embodiment of the Holy Spirit. So you have those three functions of the Godhead ministering through us. We have our spirit, which is in complete oneness with God the Father. We have our Christ consciousness, which is in complete union with the Son of God, Jesus. And we have the Holy Spirit, which is the Shekinah glory, the power of God that flows through us in manifestation. So you have all three aspects of divinity that the human instrument is designed to source and resource and send forth through our instrumentality. So Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. We don't author ourselves or our mission, and we don't finish ourselves or our mission. But the authoring and the finishing come as one packet, which means the minute that you have turned your life Godward and Christward, that instant, it's a done deal. You're already celebrated in the heavenly realms. You're already seated with Christ in the heavenly realms at the right hand of the Father. You're already in the hierarchical administration of this universe and its functioning. And that takes place in eternity, out of time, even while you're still manifesting in time. But it's completed the minute that you put your first foot on the step. It's done. So that is why Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we're like that little hot dog in the middle of the bread, either side of the Alpha and the Omega. But we're encompassed all about by the Lord in whom we live and move and have our being. So the hope and promise and assurance of our success and victory is already vouchsafed to us. We already have it. So no matter who or what attempts to wreak havoc and destruction upon this earth, I want you all to know not a single plan of the wicked one will succeed. The wicked will never have success or victory, because victory belongs to the Lord and his redeemed, righteous, royal sonship, which would be you and me and everyone that chooses back. Everyone has been called, everyone has been chosen, and the only thing that makes us different is that some have chosen back and some haven't yet. And that's about the end of the story. But the real end of this story of this planet and this time that we're living in, I want you to always remember this. The end of the story is one of great joy and jubilation. The end of the earth is a new, renewed, restored, kingdom-indwelled earth and a new heavens that are totally proclaiming the glory of God and are part of the opening to eternal, ever-unfolding worlds within worlds of open-ended creation. And that's where we're headed. And we are part of something that goes throughout eternity. And the worst is over. The best is yet to come. And if you have been born again, if you have been filled with this kingdom, kingdom-proclaiming, bridging, Holy Spirit power, there is nothing that you cannot do in His name, because you have His full permission and authority and anointing to do all things that Jesus did, and even greater because of the gift of the Holy Spirit that He sent to indwell you. So bear that in mind and be happy. We are in the best, best time ever on planet Earth. So let's chant Yeshua. That's the Hebrew name of Jesus. And there's a U in the middle. So let's do that. And, okay, deep breath. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes. Been listening to the voice of the Astra Command with Commander Lady Athena. And God willing, I will be with you this time next week. Have a blessed week ahead. And remember, when you enter a room, the kingdom of God has entered with you. So speak the word that will reverse the tide of events on this planet and in the situations in which you find yourself in the week ahead. God bless you. Adonai.